Hello and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a Bethany Church podcast where every week we dive in a little bit deeper to the sermon. And my name is Joe and I'm joined by with Tammy DeLau. Great. Director of Ministry to Women's and Groups. Correct?
Yeah.
And also Pastor David Baxley. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man.
Good. And David Baxley preached this week. We are in part four of the Living Free series. And I'm excited about this one. Last week was good, but this one's going to be even better.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be better. I'll tell you what, last week's message was just rock on, man. Like, that was just...
It was.
I don't always get to listen to the whole message through, just because of various things running around on Sunday morning. And... was really bummed I didn't get to. Tried to listen to the second service all the way through and had another thing come up and didn't get to. And so I listened to it straight through today while I was working on this message here. But it was, I really appreciated how, just how real that got with the reality of being honest about the fact of how we get strongholds, that we have them. I think we Christians, we don't want to admit we have strongholds in our life, and we do, and it's not a condemnation to say that, and you can't fight against something you're not willing to admit is there, and we're not, or we may not even see it, and I thought he did a great job beginning to paint the picture for us of how to identify that there might be a stronghold there, some of those symptoms he talked about, the defense mechanisms that come up in our lives that might be, wow, there's something there that I'm... I'm holding on to, and that maybe even has more power in my life than Christ.
Yeah. And I think one thing that was said in our grow group was the fact that we want that sin more than we want God. And to just be able to confess that and say, yeah, I want this more than I want God. And to put that into a perspective place where it's, it doesn't minimize sin. It makes sin look even more disgusting than I usually think my sin is.
Well, I think what keeps us trapped in that is, even if we go to where that started last week, where we kind of started the series with was in Romans and that whole, you know, I don't do what I want to do type of thing. Sometimes we don't want the sin, but we want the results of the sin. And that's where I think it gets muddy in the waters. It's like, I hate that sin. Why do I keep going back to sin? I hate it. Well, yeah, I do hate sinning. I hate sinning. I hate hurting my God. I hate hurting my wife, my friends, my community, my kids, like all of that. But at the same time, our sin feeds something in us. And that's how the strongholds take hold. It's kind of where Thad was going to is in that progression of how we get to those places is they feed us. They feed something in us, and even if we hate the sin, until we've seen how to live free outside of that and see what could feed us better in Christ and who He is and our relationship with Him, that sin still tastes good. It feeds something that I may hate the sin, but at the end of the day, I still love what it feeds, and that's part of our. And here, as I say that. I could tell you those things in my life. Like that is not a, those people out there. That is who we are as Christians that battle with sin. That's what Paul's whole point. That's what that was reminding us last week. We are all in this place. In fact, if we deny we're at that place, we're going to stay even deeper in bondage to the strongholds. And so where we are going now this week is building off of what that did is we really want to dive deeper into if we identify these things there, that there's a battle that has to be fought, not just like, I don't want to sin today, but there may be even deeper things that I need to fight against in my life. How do we fight those? And so this week and next week, Thad and I both will be trying to speak to you now the real practical nitty gritty. How do we really begin to live free? How do we begin to fight to live free? And so starting with that foundational verse, I just want to read it because, and this will be what, week three or four, we've heard it, but at the same time, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, for although we live in the flesh, okay, so we live there, like we're battling there, we wage war we do not wage war according to the flesh. So the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh. So we know there's this battle, this war we're supposed to be fighting, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. And just acknowledging that those strongholds do exist in our life, that, you know, either God's a liar, that we're in the middle of trying to battle these strongholds, or that they're there. And so we want to begin to talk about how to fight those. Mm-hmm. And there's two key things in Scripture. And we started with the message going into Acts chapter 2, and started here because it's this beautiful picture. If we want to go back and see the apostles, they've been walking with Jesus, churches together. How do we now begin to live free? I mean, Peter gives us a great message. You're captive to sin, but there's hope. In fact, Christ died and rose again, took victory over death, so you can now be free. This is where we went on Easter, mm-hmm. and recognizing the depth of our sin and even how deep it goes, even still for us as believers, and which is where we went last week. And now, how do we as Christians, like that early church, begin to walk in that freedom? And there were two key things that we built from. If that, and last week he began to, and just started to crack the door open a little bit, to begin to respond to that, we need truth and we need action. Mm-hmm. We have to know truth. Jesus said that truth will set us free. Yeah. We have to know truth, but it's not enough just to know it. It's not enough just to memorize verses. That has to have a deeper purpose than to memorize and just have. What are we doing with that truth? And that is the action of how do we begin to live and walk the way we were first getting to with Romans last week, to live free, to die to self. And in lieu of dying to self, now how do we begin to walk this? And the key thing from Acts 2:42 is this starts with, what does this look like? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's our truth, mm-hmm. and then to fellowship. This is where action gets going. Mm-hmm. This is our first step of, first of all, devoted. That is a word that just jumps off the page to me. We did a series almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago.
That was a year and a half ago?
The Devoted series?
Cow.
Yeah. Were you here for that one?
I was just joining the
Okay,
church.
Yeah. So, and then we really dive deep into this, but I remember just deep diving into this and just the whole idea of what it means to be truly devoted to the fellowship, mm-hmm. was a eye opener for me, mm-hmm. to be obsessed, to be so intensely, passionately obsessed with something is really what this word devoted means. Yeah. So when he says to be devoted to the fellowship, that means passionately obsessed with our Christian community, mm-hmm. to each other, to walking this together. And the truth is, and we started to unpack this in the message, mm-hmm. if we want to live free, we have to fight this together. Mm-hmm. None of us are meant to fight alone.
We really go at it though as if it's an individual sport, hmm. and try to do it ourselves. So I'm very challenged by you saying we need to do it together, and it's not just a good idea, but it's biblical.
Yeah. You know? And I think what you were talking about before we started recording was the fact that we like to do individual things. We're Americans, you know, mm-hmm. we like, it's me or no one, you know, mm-hmm. get behind me or get out of my way. So it's doing it together. And the thing I remember when I joined our grow group, when we started coming to this church, it was intentionally reaching out to someone to see how they're doing and saying, how can I pray for you? What are you going through right now? How is that thing that you mentioned Sunday going today, Monday, and then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday? And it's having that connected relationship with someone where you're constantly praying for them, obsessed with their well-being and dedicated and intensely passionate about how they are living their life for Christ. And it reverberates off of them back to you whenever you're intentional. And that's such a hard thing to do because I never grew up like that. I never grew up caring about somebody else and their relationship with God. It was always like, am I still doing my time in the morning with the Lord, just me and God? Yes, I am. I'm doing good. Pat on the back and keep moving on.
So how did you learn to do that, Joe? Like what?
It was hard. Okay. I set a timer in my calendar every day, 10 a.m. Beep, beep, beep. Okay. Check in with Tyler. Check in with David. Okay. And I haven't checked in with you. I'm sorry.
No, he hasn't.
I will.
Wow.
I'll set a calendar.
Well, you know where you?
I do.
It's Tyler's number one. Just kidding. I love you. Huh.
So anybody looking for a new grow group you're part of, let me know if you need somebody. And
terrible.
So this is a new phenomenon to you.
Yeah, it really is.
To be more than just Joe Roroff and Jesus.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And Tammy, you said that and perfectly. You said, yeah, and to realize this is a command, just to go back to that, it was Hebrews chapter 3 that we started to unpack that. And he's warning us, be careful, brothers and sisters, that your own hearts are not in evil, are not turning away from the living God. And then he says, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, that none of you will be deceived by sin. Not, like that, that's, we talked about, what does Satan do? He deceives. He's the liar. That's what that was last week. Mm-hmm. He lies. And so that to contend against the lies, yes, we have to know the truth, but let's be honest, none of us are great or perfect at all at telling ourselves the truth. Like I could give Joe advice, but then at the end of the day, it's way easier to give advice than to do it. And so these words of you must warn each other every day while it's still today so that none of you will be deceived. It's this intense, like, you have to do this.
And I think we have often, or I think I have thought, yeah, we must warn those who don't know Jesus. But this is written to believers. We're supposed to warn our brothers and sisters. And so I think we take the command to, you know, we're doing the E1, R1. We care about those that don't know the Lord. But this is speaking to what it looks like as we dance and walk this walk together. So
that's good.
I'm very challenged by what you have to share with us. And I do think I would love to know why we don't do it. What stops us from it once we know this is truly a command? So I think there is a point where maybe we've, I hate to use the word ignorant, but maybe we've been ignorant to this is a command for us. But once we hear it, once we know it, everyone that's listening to you on Sunday will hear it. They will be without excuse. But then what stops us from doing it and figuring out what those things are? I know for me, it's like, who am I to challenge you, Joe? I'm still wrestling with this thing over here.
That's good. And you think about those scriptures of remove the log in your own eye so you can get the speck out of somebody else's eye. It's like, how do you handle those types of scriptures in conjunction with this?
Well, one, I think it's important to understand like that it's a dual command. Remove the log so that you can.
Yeah.
It's not, if you don't remove the log, then don't. It's not like, if you figure this out eventually, and I think that's a really important thing. It's like, deal with your own sin. And the reason this is log versus speck, and recognize you're not better than other people. Like this is a picture. Is I have a log, you have a speck. I can't come in condemnation of you. I cannot come in judgment of you as if somehow I'm more righteous than you or any of those type of things. You and I are both sinners. In fact, it's to have the mindset of I am struggling a ton, but yet I do not want to leave you alone. And so I'm going to come alongside you and I want to help you get that speck and at the same time give you permission to deal with my log. And then Joe comes to me and says, well, I think I'm the one with the log, so I'm going to help you with the speck and I want you to help me deal with this log. Because that's when we also come to Galatians 6 and he says, so brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in wrongdoing, if they do fall into sin, restore such a person with gentle spirit, watching out for yourself so that you also won't be tempted. And like that, it's how we engage with each other. Jesus was not trying to say, don't talk to each other about your struggles. He wasn't even trying to say, don't point out your struggles, because we also have in the same book in Matthew, we have Matthew 18 where it talks about how to talk about our struggles with each other. We have in Matthew chapter 5 where it says, if you're coming to give your gift to the altar, you know that someone has something against you, go and be reconciled. Like we need to talk about our sin. We got to talk about our struggles. We got to talk about broken relationships. In fact, I'll just add this to this because I think it's part of fellowship, is God is telling us in Matthew 5 that fellowship and unity is so important that that if you come worshiping and you're in broken fellowship within each other, then you're broken fellowship with God. Stop. Go fix this.
Yeah, that's good.
Because to worship God in unity, we have to be in unity. Like he's making this incredible picture for us to understand how vital it is for us to do this in each other's lives, to have the tough conversations, to, as James 5 says, how desperately we need to confess our sin to each other, how desperately we need to do Galatians 1 to watch out for each other, restore each other. If we do go with gentleness, but restore, but at the same time, watch out that you also don't get overtaken with sin. And then he also says in the Galatians, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So watch out, be careful, and carry each other. So at the same time, I'm helping Joe, or Joe's helping me with my log, with my that sin that I have that I'm struggling with. At the same time, Joe's got to be careful, because a couple of things, pride, self-righteousness, yep. or thinking he doesn't have sin himself.
Or God forbid, he's tempted by your sin and yep. falls into it.
Yeah, and all of that's there. And yet at the same time, we carry each other so that we both help protect each other from falling into wrongdoing.
I think it just that just takes a great amount of humility. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and tell you that you've got sin in your life, and yet their sin is much more apparent than your own, and you don't accept their rebuke or correction because theirs is so much worse than yours?
That happened to me.
That happens. That happened.
Well, there was a situation that happened to me about 2 years ago. I was sitting in a coffee shop with someone, and the person began to say, "Here's where I think you're in sin," with a relation, with an attitude, with a relationship, the way I was doing something. And then the person literally said to me, "And I've never sinned that way." And so they said, "Here's how you've sinned against me, but I've never sinned against you that way. I don't know why you would ever sin against me that way." And in my mind, I first went to, "What?" You know, I was like, "You've never sinned against me." And I just felt like the Spirit of God say, "But he's right about what he's telling you. So shut up. I'll deal with the other one." And there right then I said, "You know, you're right. I've sinned against you. I've done this. I let my heart get hard. I was wounded and I was angry. And I let that break our fellowship and our relationship. And I had to confess that to him and ask for forgiveness." And he did forgive me. I never brought up his stuff. And I don't think that was at that time. I just felt like the Spirit said I needed to humble myself and let God deal with that. Now, there is a time to bring that up. And that happened at a later time. But it was at that moment, you're right, Joe, I had to humble myself. I had to, and that was hard. I mean, the conversation in my head, man, if you could have heard it.
Just anger.
Was just like, I could just hear the spirit talking to me, me talking about the Spirit. "David, don't say anything." "Yeah, but he said, David, I just told you not to say anything." "Yeah, but you know that, I'm sorry, did I stutter?" Like, I could just like hear him like doing that with me. But I had to be willing to hear that. And at the same time, not only just hear it, but I had to confess it back to him. Like he called me out, but it wasn't enough to say, "Okay." It was, "Yep, you're right. I have sinned against you. Here's how I sinned against you. Will you forgive me?" There was a freedom that happened in me at that moment. And I appreciate that God allowed me to walk that. It was painful. It was hard for pride and for just, you know, no one likes to be told, but it's, and Joe, you've done that in my life.
Yeah. And I think it comes with a certain vulnerability and humility to even just say, "Can you have permission to call me out on anything that you see in my life, even if it's a little thing?"
Well, and I think we need to see it as truly loving someone, to step outside of ourselves, to realize that it feels like it puts the relationship in jeopardy because we don't want to rock the boat, but to love someone enough to care about their vertical relationship with the Lord and their horizontal relationship, not only with ourselves, but if we're wrestling with something, probably there's collateral damage in other horizontal relationships. And so it really is a loving thing to do. It just doesn't always feel loving. I think that's another reason we don't do it, because it doesn't feel loving. Yeah. I had a lady recently share a story where she was in college and she was a good kid, but she was making choices that maybe were starting to go down a road that wasn't beautiful. And one of her friends became a Christian and sent her an email, or probably a letter at that point, but just challenging her and saying, "Are you sure you're a Christian?" And she didn't like it at first and didn't like being rebuked, but realized she was making some wrong choices. And to this day, years and years later, can wonder what path she would have went down if that young woman wouldn't have said, "I'm not seeing the fruit."
That's the same thing happened in my life. I was high school. I was making some dumb decisions at, I think I was 16 or 17 years old. And I remember randomly out of the blue, a fellow classmate called me up on the phone, said, "You know you're sinning. You know you're rebelling against God, and you have to stop." Blew me away. And the thing is, like, really practically, I did not have
You weren't selling drugs.
No, I wasn't selling drugs. Well, I was going to say, I also did not necessarily have the relationship with this person that you would have thought. Mm-hmm. But I think this person spoke not in relationship of permission, but in that builds a natural friendship. But in and I would affirm her. It was a female, and I affirm her and say, but in relationship of biblical brotherhood and sisterhood. Mm-hmm. She knew she was my sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. And for my own benefit, someone had to tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. And that was a defining moment for me. Mm-hmm. And that moment was, you're right, God, I'm admitting it, and took steps within that week to eliminate those things from my life. Mm-hmm. And it was a redefining moment for my life spiritually.
That's good.
And what would have happened if she hadn't have done that? You're right. And you know what? I could have just as easily been angry. Mm-hmm. She did it right. I would say she did it with a gentle spirit. She was firm, but she was gentle. But in some sense, she wasn't responsible for my response. Mm-hmm. But she was responsible to watch out for me. She followed exactly what Hebrews is saying, and she watched out for me. But how much more, in a sense, and the thing is, I will say that my close friends that I had, my brothers in Christ that are my close friends, we were kind of all saying the same way. Mm-hmm. So guess what we weren't doing? We weren't fighting for each other. Mm-hmm. We had allowed our version of fellowship to empower our sin. And it took an outsider to come in and get my attention to deal with that. And again, truthfully, we have to recognize in the body of Christ, none of us are outsiders. Mm-hmm. We are a family. Like, that's a tough thing. And there's wisdom in how to approach things like that. I just like really want to, I'm not saying everyone just look around, because that's not what we're supposed to do, is just keep looking around. We're not watching out for each other's sins. We're watching out that our brother and sister doesn't fall. Mm-hmm. That's a really different way of thinking. Yeah. If I'm watching out for your sins, I'm just like, oh, look, he did that. Look, she did that. But I'm watching, I'm like, oh, Joe, looks like he might be slipping. Do I need to reach my hand out so he doesn't fall? Mm-hmm. That's a different way of thinking, and people feel the difference when you talk to them.
It's true.
And humility is much easier when someone believes sincerely you love them and are looking out for them. I just think, sadly, a lot of times when this happens, it's not approached that way.
No, it's not. Well, and I'm looking, I know your favorite translation, David, but I'm looking at the New Living Translation. I'm kidding.
I got multiple NLTs in this one this week. We're good.
So, and I'm just being really challenged by that, so that none of you will be deceived by sin or hardened against God. And so if we really believe what we say, that the relationship with our relationship with God is the most important thing, if we really believe that, why would we want those that we say that we love to be hardened against God? Like, it should be a battle where we're worth
that. It's worth fighting for.
And
I want to get into the kind of more nitty gritty application now a little bit. So this, I mean, we're talking a hard philosophy of to live
so
out,
hard.
And yet when we got to the sermon at the end of it, we have to get to the reality of, so how are we really going to do this? And I don't think the best solution is to just run around and just like look for things. Like, I really think what Joe described, like what he does with his favorite person, Tyler, is...
Wow.
No, is that's what we need. We need purposeful, developed, intentional relationships. Mm-hmm. We're a big church, and I love Sunday morning, seeing all the faces and seeing the new faces and everyone in. Like, it just, I love it. I don't know people as much as I wish I don't know them as much as I wish I could, and that's just a disappointment. But at the same time, I can't. Mm-hmm. But if we all could know that many. Church, I use that a lot, right? The mini fellowship. I talked on Sunday how we're devoted to the fellowship. All of us are the fellowship of Bethany. We are devoted to that as Christians, a part of the family of God, a part of the greater family of Bethany Church. But at the same time, we are needed to be devoted to our individual mini churches, and to truly begin to live, to fight together. If we want to live free, we got to fight together to be free, and we need to be in those group relationships, and desperately needing to do it. And Tammy, come back to together, men and women together, side by side together, husbands and wife together, whatever that might look like. I actually think it's harder to hide and sometimes in same gender groups. I'll say that as a guy. I think it's sometimes hard because you know, we might have some of the same struggles. We can almost validate some each other sometime and things like that. Or they may say, how's your relationship with your wife going? And I can say, oh, okay, that's fine. It's fine. But you know, we're a grow group and, you know, like, there's coldness or there's distance or it doesn't look like we're quite loving each other the way we should. I can't hide it from my brother then. Mm-hmm. And that is why we start with grow groups. Mm-hmm. That is why that is a foundation to this. Why we don't just dive instinctively into just smaller accountability groups and why we don't dive instinctively just into Bible studies and things like that. Those are needed to grow us. But if we don't have this basic foundation of devoted to this mini fellowship, following Ecclesiastes, where we are back to back, two are better than one, you know, standing side by side to fight together. Mm-hmm. And in all seriousness, we're joking. I think the guys, all of us on Grow Group, we do stand back to back with each other to fight each other. And we're fighting for different people in more intense ways at different times, our seasons and where we are in life and things like that. But I think that's what's, it is not a gimmick. It is not just a program. It is a mirror of the life of Jesus, who Jesus brought his smaller group around him. And then even in that group had those people he was fighting side by side with, and he was sharing life and sharing experiences with. He taught to the masses and then got with his group and continue to go back and forth as how they shared together. He didn't share to the 5,000 back and forth. He taught the 5,000, but the small group got together and they shared and they experienced. And I think he was mirroring for us this model of fighting side by side, of back to back, of we have to be better together, look out for each other, stand together, challenge each other, teach each other, grow together. And that's why it's a necessity, essential. And I would even dare say there's different models of how to do that, but the basic idea, a absolute command from Scripture, and to ignore that is to ignore. I mentioned in the sermon that we can't say we're devoted to Jesus and not be devoted to fellowship. It's not that they are two coins. They are one different sides of the same coin. We cannot hold this coin of Christianity, this coin of following Christ, if we're not devoted to Christ and devoted to each other. The two must be together to really live out this Christian life. That's a hard teaching, maybe.
It's very hard teaching. But if you think of water, we can't have water without the hydrogen molecules and the oxygen molecules. They have to be together. It's the same kind of thing.
Look at that teacher Tammy coming out right there. Like, you can tell she homeschooled her kids.
She's teaching.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like they're together.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And I know often there are probably people gagging, saying, oh man, they're talking about girl groups again. And you're so right. It's not a program. But we really know that this is where what Scripture says can happen if girl groups are done well and they're done right. And it's easy to be in a study, for you guys to be in a man's study, for me to be in a woman's study, and say, it's all good and we've got it all figured out. And I can say Andy and I are doing great, but the people in my living room know if Andy and I are really doing well or we're not doing well. And so you can't hide. And even if I could fool my friend, there could be a husband that would say, Tammy disrespected Andy there. You know what I mean? Like, just that maybe even my female friends wouldn't see.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense at all? And so I do think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, but I want to add to that, though, because, and you and I have talked about this, mm-hmm. Tammy, too, but we can still be in a community like this and hide.
And hide.
And so I want to, like, those that are in grow groups that are listening right now, I think one of the big challenges, and I'm hitting this in the message as well, but is as leaders... The leaders that are listening, for yourself first, don't hide anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't hide. I know the temptation. I can tell you, I feel that as a pastor, it is really easy to justify hiding. It is really easy because if you're really fully known, if you're really vulnerable and real, what will come out of that? Will people look at you differently, think of you differently? And that is not the Christian life. That is another lie of Satan, to hold me captive to a stronghold of fear of man over fear of God, a stronghold of pride or self-righteousness. Like, there's so much intermixed in that. So leaders, especially as we come into this next week, next 2 weeks, especially as we really, we're going to ask questions more that might require us to get a little more real. Mm-hmm. And last week we began to go there a little bit. We kind of opened that can up a little bit and talking about our defense mechanisms together and those mm-hmm. things. But now as we get into this more, to be willing to make yourself known mm-hmm. to the group, make yourself known to the strengths mm-hmm. and your weaknesses. And be willing to ask those to share. I tell you what, I remember one time I was leading a grow group, and there was about, I don't know, 15 of us, and we were around a fire, and we had done all the discussion, and we were doing all that. And then we're like, all right, well, let's, any prayer requests? And then out of the blue, this young man just confessed his battle with alcohol. He had been drinking, he's been going out on the weekends, and nobody knew. And so people gathered around him and started praying for him. Well, guess what happened? We were done praying for him. Someone else started to confess mm-hmm. something else. And then they gathered around and prayed for them. And I will never forget that moment. On my deck, in my house, I have had, I don't even know, I mean, hundreds of nights on decks in my house with grow group communities and things like that. And yet that one I will never, ever forget. Mm-hmm. Because it was life-changing for some of those people. Mm-hmm. But it was the example of it just takes one mm-hmm. to be willing to set the example, to be willing to be known, to risk. And I don't want to pretend like it's not a risk. I said in the message, it sounds simple, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It sounds simple. And in some sense, it is simple, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. How am I supposed to get support if I don't tell you what I need? Well, that's simple. That makes complete sense. But how easy is it? Not as easy to actually be vulnerable and to tell you that. And I think that's a big thing, leaders, I want to encourage you with. And those listening that aren't in, you may be saying, oh, yeah, our group is a safe place for that. And you may be saying, I don't know if my group is a safe place for that. To maybe be willing to risk a little bit. You know, I'm not saying go and, you know, all in one night, just like, here's my 35 sins or, you know, here's my total brokenness. But at the same time, to be willing to say, even maybe if it, maybe you just can start saying, I'm afraid to be real. Maybe if we just do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are we afraid of? That's a great question.
Condemnation, maybe?
Condemnation.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Of rejection.
Okay.
If I'm not looking as right as I should, or I have portrayed myself to be, will people really want me? Will they want to be in friendship with me? Will they want to be in, will they even want me in their core group? Will they even want me in their church?
Mm-hmm. So almost we believe the lie that it could be used against us as ammunition at some level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, the truth is, I want to just be real because it happens sometimes. Sometimes, and it has in my own life. That's why I want to say I understand this. Mm-hmm. Where that vulnerability has been used as ammunition. Mm-hmm. But I'm free. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wounded. Mm. But I'm better off with the risk of being wounded in my confession than being held captive to my sin.
Amen. And I think one day we'll stand before Jesus and he won't say, well, that person hurt you, so you're off the hook. It's, we've got to read the Bible. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It's my responsibility to confess my sins. If David decides to use my sins as ammunition to shoot me with, that's on him, not me.
But if we are honest and we don't have a lot of secrets, someone can't use that ammunition against us. You know, I mean, if we live transparent lives, then really,
yeah, that's true.
Is there any ammunition?
In transparency, there's freedom.
Right.
Because if I've been honest and real, that's a, wow, mm-hmm. that's good, Tammy. In transparency is more freedom.
I think so.
I agree mm-hmm. with you 100%. That's mm-hmm. just, it's hard to get there though. Mm-hmm. And again, there's wisdom in who you share with. So don't get me wrong. I am not saying just find a person and just tell them. Like there's wisdom in how to do that. Yeah. But in wisdom and in prayer, find it. Mm-hmm. If at the end of the day, even, and different personalities mesh better, so I get that. At the end of the day, you're like, I'm not sure if I feel that in my girl group. Give Tammy and I a call or an email. Let us know. And if there's something we can do to help you find freedom or help the grow group grow, we'll help you. But if it's just not a good mesh, maybe it's as we're growing to what it means to do this as a church better, you might find, wow, those people I do that in my life are actually over here. Maybe I should be in a grow group with them. That's fine. That's okay. Like there's wisdom in that. There's health in that. Mm-hmm. Now we don't want to just run from conflict. Right. We don't want to run from, they hurt my feelings. I'm mad. I don't like them anymore. But we want to be wise and create places, but we got to find the place. We cannot fight alone. We will not win a battle by ourselves. And so even if you listen to this, the message already, or you haven't, I want you to begin to think about, if we think about devotion, what is it that you're truly devoted to? And what is it that God might be asking you to be devoted to? What if you're even like, I don't know if I have time for dot, dot, dot. Well, then something has your devotion more than...
We do know how to be devoted. It just might not be to the right thing.
Yeah.
Those who are devoted to their sport or to their team or their exercise or their eating regime or whatever it is, we are not people who don't know how to be devoted. But are we going to be devoted to this?
And there's only so many things we can be devoted for. I have a lot of decorations in my office, and I'm devoted to two things in my office.
Star Wars and Jesus.
Oh, wow. She went there.
I was going to say Star Trek and Star Wars, but okay, all right. but that's exactly right. I mean, it's a silly example, but the truth is I can only have so much wall space. Mm-hmm. But what I choose to decorate and do with things that I'm passionate about.
Right.
And so the other question I would say, not just what are you devoted to, but if you're honest with yourself, are you really passionately seeking to follow Christ? Mm-hmm. A lot of things that hold us captive is that we're just not really caring. Mm-hmm. We're like, I want to be free, but I don't really want to do what it takes to be free. And I get that battle. I really, really, really get that battle. Mm-hmm. So are you passionate about following Jesus mm-hmm. with others, or are you just passionate about Jesus mm-hmm. and not others?
Which is kind of a problem, because he was passionate about others, so we should probably be passionate about others.
And I agree. It's just, it's a lot easier to mm-hmm. fully love and trust Jesus, who you know does us no wrong, mm-hmm. Than each other. And are you alone mm-hmm. right now? And if you're listening and you're like, that all sounds great, I don't know how to do that, I'm alone, I don't feel safe, mm-hmm. or I'm not sure I know how to do that, would you be willing to just take one step and contact Tammy or I? And we love to talk that through with you, walk that with you. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. Even I know this is something that's so important to me. I still have to remind myself of this. Mm-hmm. I have to fight this. I sometimes have to have friends draw me out. Mm-hmm. Having a really rough week last week, Pastor Billy comes in my office. Mm-hmm. He's like, dude, I just see it on your face. What's going on, man? You're just having a rough week. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't go to him, but he came to me. Mm-hmm. He was contending for me. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make sure I didn't fall. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what brothers and sisters in Christ do. Mm-hmm. And Billy's a great friend. And yet we're not regularly have those conversations together. Mm-hmm. But yet he was willing to contend for me when he saw there might be a vulnerability. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And so grow groups, take a step, don't just dip your toe this week, go a little bit deeper, mm-hmm. begin to walk this. I heard testimony just today from somebody in a grow group, and they've been in this grow group for about a year, and they said, our grow group was different this week. Mm-hmm. We shared, everyone shared. Mm-hmm. We were more vulnerable. We walked something we hadn't walked before. Mm-hmm. And it's every little step, but we just want to take these steps together. We are better together. We are passionately following Christ together. And we cannot fight unless we begin to do what we're talking about today in this message and fight together.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to After the Sermon podcast. We will see you guys Sunday. Have a great week.